You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, and welcome to the ninth episode of the 2018 Dragon Con Report. Dragon Con is over. It's past. It is a done deal. Dragon Con 2018 is behind us, but we want to talk all about it, share our dragon tales with you all. I am your host, Mike Gordon, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of our station crew, those of us who have survived the weekend. Of course, director Mike Faber is here.
Oh, not so loud. I'm still nursing a hangover from that apple pie. Come on.
You brought the pie, sir. You did bring the pie.
I brought 8 gallons worth,
it still wasn't enough.
Nope, it was not. We ran out.
And we also have with us Darren Noel. Do we have Darren?
He's up there.
Oh, sorry. I pressed my mute button by mistake. My bad. I'm here.
Of course. And you had pie as well, correct?
I had a little bit of pie. Okay. Not nearly as much pie as y'all.
Gotcha. Not 8 gallons?
Not 8 gallons. That might be pushing my limits at that point. So, yeah.
A person that I missed this year for the first time in a while, I think. I actually didn't get to see Mary Lou.
I know, it was so weird. I think I passed you in the dealer room one time, but you know how hard it is to make connections in there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the dealer room's crazy. It is very crazy. I think I really, really understood how crazy it can be this year. But glad to have you with us.
Of course, I'm glad to be here.
And joining us for the first time on the Dragon Con Report, because it was her first time ever at Dragon Con, and she's going to tell us all about her first time experience, Ashley Pauls is with us.
Hello, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. No, I'm curious to hear your final thoughts on what was, I'm sure, a weekend that was, in some ways, it might have felt overhyped for you all up until the actual event itself.
It was actually really awesome, so I am excited to dive into it. It definitely lived up to all the hopes I had for it, so I'm really excited to talk about it with you guys.
Very nice, very nice. We also are going to have segments from our regular crew, Michelle Biddick-Simmons, Eternal Zan, and Kevin Batchelder. The Dragon Con Report is, as always this year, sponsored by the Borderlands Comics and Games in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. I hope all of you checked out their booth in dealer room. I think it was on the second floor. Is that right, Mike? Did I miss up that?
It was on the second floor, yeah. And he actually had a really nice booth. It was not in the same as location as the past couple years. It was one row in, but it was double the size.
Yes, and I did. I saw him a few times, and it was always busy, so we didn't really get a chance to talk too much because, you know, he was busy serving folks. So it was good to see him there. Always good to see Robert. And when it's not Dragon Con, go visit his store. Go to Greenville. It's very awesome. You can also check out the website, of course, borderlands.us. And get ready because South Carolina Comic Con is coming up in March. So we'll have more information on that as it develops. But they're already starting to announce guests for that show. So definitely stay tuned for that. We here are a proud member of the ESO Network. Be sure to check out the Amazon link at the top of the ESONetwork.com site. It doesn't cost you any more to purchase your stuff, and it really does help us out a lot. We also have a Tee Public store filled with all kinds of cool designs, and there's a link for that at the top of the ESO Network page. And speaking of links at the top of the page, there's also a link for our Patreon page. Right, Mike?
Oh, always. There's always room for the Patreon. And for big news from Dragon Con, we are very happy to announce that starting actually this week, all posts up on the Patreon will be free to the public and everybody for the first 5 days of it going live. After that, it's behind the wall, and you have to subscribe to our Patreon to be able to enjoy the posts.
And there's a few panels that we're airing out as part of our regular programming on Earth Station One podcast, as well as Earth Station Who. But you can also get some exclusive panels that we recorded that we experienced while we were at Dragon Con. You can hear those in the Patreon 2 weeks, months, probably even the year to come, because we recorded a ton.
Yes.
And while I would mention it, too, while I'm talking about the network, I also have to mention that there was a lot of other network folks at the convention. So definitely all of them have DragonCon reports of their own, post-con reports, post-con's coverage, if you will, from the Cigar Nerds to Transmissions from Atlantis to Nerd Bliss, as well as Flopcast. So definitely tune in to all sorts of shows on the ESO network to find out even more coverage of DragonCon 2018. If you'd like to leave feedback or comment on the show, please call our ESO feedback line at 404-963-9057 or feel free to email us at dragonconreport@esonetwork.com. Especially the email address. Pay attention to that, dragonconreport@esonetwork.com. Go ahead and send us any ideas that you have for what you liked about the coverage for the Dragon Con Report in 2018, or in what you'd like to see in 2019. We are going to make some changes to the show next year, so we're definitely open to ideas. So if you have suggestions or want to feel like you have something to contribute, please reach out to us, because, like I said, we are going to spend a few months kind of tweaking and doing some changing to the show. And then when we come back in January, it's not going to be, a brand new show, but it's going to have a fresh coat of paint on it, we'll call it. It's very exciting stuff. But I did talk to a number of listeners at the convention itself. They either came by the table or saw them at panels afterwards. And it's always great to get listener feedback directly. A lot of you guys are listening to the show, and thank you so much for that. We really do appreciate it. A lot of you told me you find the show very helpful. The suggestions, the tips, the discussions that we have, that you appreciate that. So we appreciate you guys. So like I said, if there's something that if there's an itch that we're not scratching, please let us know, so we can try to reach down next year to get that.
I just can't.
I know. I went there. So
you did. You went full Darren right there. That's what you did. I'm impressed.
All right. Well, let's start off with some DragonCon news. First and foremost, DragonCon is going to happen next year, believe it or not. They're going to do another one. Yes. Apparently, they're not finished. So DragonCon 2019 will take place at August 29th through September 2nd of next year. That's only 330 some days away. It will be here before we know it. You will not be prepared for it, no matter how much, even if you've started to prepare for it before you're listening to this, it's still not going to be near enough time, but it's also going to feel like an eternity before it gets here either. So it's obviously going to be the same hotels. Basic information is that, yes, it's happening again. So we will, as more information develops on guests and other changes, we will definitely let you know. So as far as 2018 goes, they did release an estimate number of attendees. And this year, DragonCon pulled in approximately 80,000 people, which is about the same as last year's. Now, the con's been going up and up and up in attendance every year for as long as I can remember, without a sizable dip at all. So this is really the first time that it's kind of leveled off from the previous year. They expected over 85,000, which, 5,000 doesn't sound like a lot of difference. But I talked to a number of people who felt this year, I don't know if the crowd control was better, But I did talk to a number of people that felt like it wasn't as crowded this year as it was in previous years. How do you feel about the attendance? Any ideas? Do we think that Dragon Con has plateaued, like this is it? Or do you think this is a bump for some particular reason?
Who's going to take that one first? Yeah, I'll tackle it. I think last year we had a lot of people, at least in my crowd, that were saying that it's too crowded. They can't get into any of the panels that they enjoyed. They had to watch Dragon Con TV. I mean, it's different if you make the choice, but if you want to be in the room, it can be very frustrating that all the things you wanted to do, there was no room for you. And that was like getting there an hour ahead of time and the lines being maybe not as organized as they were this year as to where they were starting and finishing. And I think people just decided to save their money or go do something else this year. Because you're right, Mike, this is the first year where it was like not an increase that anyone was talking about. It was a plateau. And I think that's pretty significant for Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see, you know, next year and the year after if this is just, you know, sort of a you know, one-time thing, if it's going to continue to grow maybe for some. I mean, I know, Mike, I know that we talked at the convention, and I know that you had some thoughts as to maybe some of the reasons why it wasn't as well attended.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a couple different people who, you know, we've talked to, and people are thoughts. And, you know, when we posted the article up on the ESO Network Facebook page, of course, the haters had to come out. And, you know, we then reposted it in the Dragon Con group. And it was just, you know, some of the things that people were saying were just ridiculous. And it's just, yeah, there were different reasons possibly why there wasn't as many people this year. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was a great manageable con. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it stays at 80,000, that's still 80,000. It isn't by no means a failure. Come on, right. Folks.
Yeah.
It's not like it's the end of the world. And that's was bugging the hell out of me when people were saying that, oh, this is the end of the con. This is, you're going to see it falling apart now. No, folks, it is not going to be falling apart. Not by any means. You're going to still get, you know, we're going to be talking to Kevin in a little bit. And let me tell you, I was a tour guide this year. I did 3 tours of the newbie groups, and it was packed to the rails. All we had, you know, people showing up early to come to the room to go for the newbie tours and to do the Q&A about coming to Dragon Con for the first time. It's not slowing down, folks. It's just, you know, maybe it's, you know, mellowing out, or it's, you know, not, you know, deciding what is going to be happening in the future. It's, you know, some people were complaining, oh, there weren't any great stars this year. There was plenty. Yeah.
Attention?
Yeah, exactly. It was like there were so many celebrities there this year. It was just amazing, the cast and crew. And we'll talk all about that in a little bit. But, you know, everyone has their favorites. And I'm sorry, we can't get William Shatner or Nathan Fillion every single year. They want to bring in fresh people, and new shows change out, or, you know, things, you know, happen and people sometimes can't show up. And there's more and more competition happening all around the world, because people come to Dragon Con from all across the world. And there's big cons now happening over Labor Day weekend. It's just a fact. In the U.S., it's a 3-day weekend. Of course, they're going to put big cons to compete with Dragon Con. And the celebrity pool isn't huge. And, you know, the celebrities are going to, you know, split time. Now that's why you're seeing these celebrities only there certain days. It's not Dragon Con's fault by any means. It's because the celebrities are in demand.
Uh-huh. I know that one of the other thoughts was the recent events in Tampa. And I will say that I don't know if it was just – I don't think it was just because I'm in my mind. I substantially noticed a greater security presence this year.
Oh, very much so. I a lot of people we talked to, and we did talk about this during the ESO Network recording we did, which will be available very soon on the Patreon. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And exactly. So it's a lot of, you know, the police presence was amazing this year. And what we saw was only the uniformed police officers. I'm sure there was almost an equal amount undercover and plain clothes.
Or in stormtroopers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, there is no... If they're wearing plain clothes, Mike, at Dragon Con, they're going to stand out.
But so. Yeah, so I definitely think, you know, I think possibly that Jacksonville had a, you know... Jacksonville definitely had a little bit of a, you know, hey, stay away effect. I was nervous about it. I'll be the first one to admit it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's something you have to think about in this day and age, but we've been dealing with this at Dragon since people started throwing chairs off the balconies in the Marriott and the Hyatt, you know? So random acts of stupidity have been a thing at Dragon for a long time, and you just have to stay on your guard for that stuff, because it's odds are something weird and strange is going to happen. Not that we want it to, but just the odds are there. So, but nothing as bad as what happened at that gaming tournament. No,
exactly. And thank God nobody threw a chair off the railing again this year.
Yeah,
I didn't hear about it. So yay.
I think all chairs were banned from being anywhere close to railings this year.
Well, if you think about it, though, guys, truthfully, we've been very fortunate, knock on wood, with Dragon Con, that there hasn't been any huge, you know, thing like what happened in Jacksonville, or we haven't had, you know, we've had a couple, you know, sexual assaults in the past and such, but nothing huge or nothing, you know, horrific where somebody's ended up dead. Or something, mm-hmm. you know, or someone, you know, brutally raped and beaten up and stuff. We've had some assaults, but, you know, they usually catch the people who do that. And it's most of the time when it happens, it's people from outside Dragon Con. And, you know, that's part of the reason why at Dragon Con, they've had, you know, increased security, but also they have the people checking the badges, because there used to be a huge problem with people just coming off the street, especially in the night, to come into the hotels and, you know, gawk and harass the cosplayers and such.
True that, sir.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what, like, the rationale. I was surprised that they didn't meet the 85,000. I don't know. What specific? I don't think there was one reason. I think maybe in a lot of ways it was just maybe an off year. You know, as far as I do know, a lot of personal friends that did not attend this past year for the first time in a while because they had decided that. And I think you're going to find that, you know, with the economy being the way it is, people are going to be forced to make decisions like, okay, I can either go to Dragon Con or I can go to Europe. You know, like I can't do both. So. Mm-hmm. Or I can go to Disney or I can go to Dragon Con. Like they have to make those choices. And as they do, you know, Dragon Con has established that it's not going anywhere. So if you miss it a year, don't worry, it's going to be back. So yeah, you can go next year. Yeah. So I find a lot of people are just like, I need a break, I need to do something else. And, you know, and so maybe it was just that simple that a lot of people did that. I don't know.
Or any maybe thoughts? They were fans of a show that had no presence at Dragon Con this year. I mean, that happens too.
Absolutely.
You know, if you have one thing that you're really keyed into and that cast was there one year and not coming the next, maybe you could skip it. You know? So it's an economic decision, you know?
Absolutely.
I knew a friend. She couldn't come. She was pregnant with twins.
Well, I don't think a lot of people suffered from that.
You know, I think it's all right to skip Dragon Con if you're, you know, a freshly minted mother of two twin preemie babies. I think that's okay, you know.
If more pregnant women with twins showed up, then our attendance would be huge.
would. It would triple.
It would triple, exactly.
So
it would
do that, right?
Before we move on, Mary or Ashley, any thoughts about the attendance this year? Mary?
Oh, I don't really have an opinion about that.
Okay. All right.
Mary's like, is there pie?
No, I just don't think that's really, as a volunteer, my place to comment.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Ashley, as a first time, DragonCon attendee, was the crowd overwhelming?
You know what? There were a couple moments in the con where I was like, there's a lot of people here. I kind of need to go to one of the quieter hotels, but I kind of figured out some of the areas you could go to kind of lessen the crowd. And this is actually the biggest con I had ever been to. I think the largest one I'd been to previously was 50,000. And there's definitely a difference between 50,000 and 80,000, I would say. And it felt like there was a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. So just as a complete outsider perspective, I wouldn't say that the 80,000, you know, 5,000 and what they expected would be anything to be concerned about. There's just natural ebbs and flows. And then, you know, things inevitably plateau, like you grow up to a certain point and maybe it just kind of stabilizes at a level. But 80,000 is nothing to, you know, be ashamed of. That's a great crowd. And I really enjoyed it and would recommend it to others who hadn't come. So I don't think that there's any cause for concern, but that's just me as an outside observer. So kind of, what do I know? But
no, absolutely. No, your opinion's just as valid as any of us. So, well, I appreciate that. So before we get to talking about more details about 2018, I do have to point out, though, that even though the, you know, the estimated number of attendees was not as anticipated, they still managed to raise at least $85,000 for the official charity, which was Literacy Action. So still doing good work that way. And they've already picked their charity for next year, which is the American Heart Association's Georgia chapter, in honor of our fallen friend Tom Trainer. So I think that's it's really special. So that is a great way to honor Tom, and I'm very excited by the charity for next year as well. So so very cool. Well, yeah, let's get into, you know, let's get right into it. This year, the first thing I want to point out, because this is sort of a segue from the attendance, is even though there were, you know, 80,000 people there, I think it's amazing to me that it's spread out even across more days. I didn't get there until Thursday, but I saw pictures online from a lot of folks on Wednesday even, and it was crazy, crazy pants on Wednesday. Who was there on – Mary, you got there probably earlier than any of us, right?
I got there Wednesday afternoon.
Okay.
So, now, yeah. Wednesday was crazy. Like, I've gotten there on Wednesday – the last several years, at least the last 2 years, and it was more than I even remember seeing that at that time last year. Like, it reminded me of like Friday night, like 4 years ago. Like, it was insane. I mean, it wasn't like Saturday or whatever, but like for Wednesday, like, oh my God, it was awesome.
Yeah, very cool. I saw, it seems like they, but I'll tell you what, by Monday afternoon, cause I was there, you know, breaking down, and getting my stuff together to go home Monday afternoon, man, you can walk around the hotels and it's dead. Like,
yeah.
It's like people are like, Monday is not a big con day. Like Monday is like, let's go home day.
And it kind of confuses me because people have started coming in early, but why don't people start staying late? Like, I don't check out until Tuesday intentionally.
Right.
And like, I think that is just as worthwhile and gives me just as much benefit as getting in on Wednesday. So I don't understand why people don't start staying later. Like, I was commenting on that actually Monday afternoon when it was so dead. Like, why isn't that also happening? It's very strange.
I think, coming from my perspective, because I usually work on Tuesday, I think a lot of people just want that day to sort of travel back home and recover before they have to go back to it.
Like, they're taking one day earlier off from work. What's another day later? You know what I'm saying?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Do you take the day off and party in like on Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday, or do you take the day off to recover, Monday or Tuesday?
Personally, coming in early is cool, but checking out Monday is such a pain in the butt. Like, I refuse to do it. I won't wait. I won't wait 4 hours for a guy to come up and get my stuff out of my room. Like, no way. Just stay one extra day. You can chill till Monday night, like hang out with some friends, see some people maybe you miss, like don't get that drunk or whatever, and then have an easy checkout Tuesday.
Yeah, rehydrate.
Yep.
I will say Monday morning, when we had to check out was probably the only time that we experienced some issues getting an elevator in the Westin. And that was only like, we only had to wait like for three of them. And then boom, we found one. So it wasn't that much of a hassle elevator wise at the Westin at all throughout the whole weekend until then.
No, it was actually interesting because we ended up going out to lunch after we got done with our panels on Monday with a bunch of the American Classic Sci-Fi folks. And when we got to the Metro Diner, there was no wait or anything. Then there were open tables. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen that before, even on a Monday. And this was the first time I experienced that. We had like eight of us. And they said, oh, yeah, hold on. And they fixed a table up for us. And they got it to us right away. And this was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or so.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
It is definitely, an empty town, an empty hotels like on Monday. It's that's one thing I really noticed this year as well. So,
well, a lot of people who are local may have had to headed out of town for family gatherings on Labor Day. So there's that as well. So
sure.
I know a lot of people get up early and leave in order to avoid the mayhem of getting a guy. Like they wake up. Some of them even power through the night and get out of their hotel.
What, really?
Yeah, at like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. to beat.
Oh, my God. Pay the extra $100 and stay an extra day. It's not that bad.
I agree, but you know.
Mary, where are you staying at where it's only $100 a night?
It's about $100 a night if you have four people in your room.
That's true.
Which I do.
Confirmed.
Well, I want to.
I don't do more than four though. Four is we had the same four roommates the last 5 years. We got a good thing going, but absolutely no more than four.
Yeah, we've done that too. More than four. Yeah, you can't. No, it's not worth it at that point.
No, no, and remember when you're making your reservation, only put two.
Yeah, true.
True.
All right, that. So I want to hear about everybody's highlights of the con. We'll start with Darren. What were some of your highlights, man? I did get to see you in almost full Riddler mode.
Almost in full Riddler mode because I decided that I was going to do some shopping, so I left the cane behind because you don't carry your props into the dealer's room. Remember that, kids. You don't do it. If you're going to be shopping and carrying a bag, you don't need props with you, too. And I left the mask off because it was hot as balls that day. And I decided I was already in a full on polyester suit. I didn't want to like add the bowler hat to it and cause me to just bleed sweat out of every pore. I had a good time. I bought some art. I had a very chill dragon this year. Just kind of relaxing with friends and chilling out, watching a lot of DTV by my choice, not because I was waiting in lines for panels I couldn't get into because I just don't like to wait. I'll watch TV instead. That was basically my dragon. It was a relaxicon for me. It was not a hard party con at all for me. I don't think I made it to any of the music stuff except for the Spectrum party.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then how was that? Was that
that's always excellent. Always great.
And I understand you were on a panel.
I was on a panel, and I made the mistake of volunteering before I saw what time the panel was. 8 a.m. on Monday morning panel.
Yes.
Oh my God, those exist?
Yes, they exist, and it was actually well attended for that time. I was impressed. There was like 40 people there.
It has to be a Joe Crow panel.
It was a Joe Crow panel, exactly. I'm like, why the heck? But yeah, so I didn't party hard on Sunday. I went to bed fairly early and got up, got my Starbucks. No line for Starbucks on Monday morning. Yay. And wandered to the Marriott and had a panel and then wandered back to my room because I stayed Monday night too, Mary. I'm not one of those dumb people who's like, hey, I want to get out of here immediately. You know, I'm like, let everybody else fight over the elevators. I'll wait. Thank you.
Plus the booze disposal party's fun.
So, you know, I had a good time, but it was not the crazy party con that I normally have. Just wanted to take it easy this year. Yeah,
and it's kind of nice that Dragon Con will allow for that, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
You don't have to go crazy,
and if you do, then more power to you. But you can certainly, like, you know, wander through the art show, wander through the dealer's room. There's things you can do without having to be crushed for time and going to every party and going to every panel. I did Friday. I had a bad experience with waiting for lines outside the Hyatt. I wish Dragon Con would add to the app where the lines start for the panels. I know that's asking a lot, but there was a lot of confusion inside the Hyatt as to where you should go to wait for your panel. And there was a lot of yelling by the volunteers. And I know they have to communicate to everybody all at one time in an area. Hey, the lines are outside. By the time you walked outside and made your way through the lobby of the Hyatt, the line was already gone because it had already been escorted inside. You know, there was a lot of that going on because you couldn't find where this particular line started for which ballroom where. And it wasn't always intuitive. So I wish they would add that to the app if they can figure out a way to do that. Like, your line is located on the west side of the Hyatt or the east side of the Hyatt or the back side of the Hyatt or something, as opposed to the lines are outside. Very helpful. Not helpful at all. So, you know, just little things like that. But what happened to me Friday on top of that was I went to two panels in the Hyatt in a row. And I was outside waiting in the heat, and I come into the cold conference room, and then I did it again. And I began to get the chills because I was going through such, like, variances in temperature so quickly.
Yep.
By the time my body got used to one, here was another. And I'm like, this is how Concord starts.
Yep.
I figured it out. I figured out how Concord starts, waiting for lines outside of the hotels and then going into a freezing cold. So you can do like one, but don't do two in a row. You got to let your body moderate. I went upstairs and made myself a nice cup of tea and got into a hot bathtub to moderate my temperature for a little bit. I was like, I can't have Concord on Friday. That's ridiculous. I refuse to be patient zero. Thank you. So
No. On behalf of us all, thank you.
You're welcome. I sacrificed hours at the con for you all. So, yeah.
I've heard the line situation over there is crazy. So we have heard from other people. And, of course, the line situation in to get into the America's Mart is in crazy insane, too.
It is always crazy, yeah.
I don't know if there's any way around that. The only thing that puzzles me is that when I, on Sunday, when I came back to the building and tried to get in, they weren't letting anybody in because of, apparently either the fire marshal or somebody had declared that it was, you know, all full up. There were, yeah. So, which is weird because, you know, I don't know how they gauge, like, how many people are allowed in that building, but I got to tell you, it just feels like there could be more. Like, it didn't feel like that any time, like, you know, especially on Saturday when I was inside all the time and I heard from people that they were waiting, you know, sometimes 40, 45 minutes to get in. I was like, I don't know why, because it doesn't feel like we're overflowing with people in here. So that's I don't know how they're arranging that count or whatever, but yeah, I don't see any way around that. It seems like that's going to have to be just dealt with, something that you deal with.
Yeah, but I just wish the volunteers would be a little more, like, on the inside of the Hyatt, maybe a little more respective of people instead of just screaming at them.
Yeah.
You know, just put up a sign. The wait for this line is located to the east side of the Hyatt. Please go there.
Most of the volunteers don't have a problem with, but there are some who actually feel like they're going through some power trips. I don't know
if that's what it was. I just felt like it was frustration because people were walking up to this room that didn't have a line in front of it to wait for a panel, and then they just started screaming, "Go outside! Your line's outside!" You know, it's like, "Well, we're outside exactly." Okay, thank you. Not very helpful directions. Just saying.
Right.
So yeah, it led to some frustration. And then someone mentioned, well, if they would put it in the app, we would go there. And I was like, no, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that's a good note.
Just saying. I think that would help a lot and maybe help some of the screaming from the volunteers on that one, because that can't be pleasant for them either. So
highlights from you, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. So most of mine were probably costume related. I did a lot of costumes this year that entertained almost exclusively just me. and that's fun enough. That's enough for me these days. First one was Talladega Nights. I got to cosplay Ricky Bobby, which I'd been wanting to do for a long time. And that was actually a blast. People were pretty pumped about it. So that was fun. And then a big group of friends and I made Porg costumes from the little birds from The Last Jedi. And we just got really drunk and ran around and harassed every Luke Skywalker we could find.
I'm really sorry I missed that. I didn't see this.
I just wanted to make
that really fun. Like, we knew that we were going to have a good time, but we didn't really expect the amount of pictures people would take and how big of a kick other people would get out of it. I think we were a little overwhelmed and maybe caught off guard by that, but in a good way.
I just want McDonald's to have a crossover with Star Wars and serve pork nuggets.
Oh.
Want some pork nuggets, please. With blue milk sauce, please.
A while back, Kelly Marie Tran made a Porg costume, and so we were inspired by hers and kind of put our own spin on it. So, yeah, I guess that, let's see, I'm sure there's something else that I'm forgetting. My lunch with Faber in the secret food court was pretty exciting.
Oh, it was.
Secret food court.
Yeah, no, did we put that in tips videos? Have we ever done that? Good.
Yes, we did.
That's a good tip.
In fact, I was walking behind people going from the Marriott to the Hyatt, and someone said, oh, there's the secret food court. I was like, yes, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing, people.
Of course, and we should have copyrighted the name. That's right.
I think so.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you know, I guess that's it. I didn't go to any panels this year. I did go to video gaming. That's drunk video gaming is always a friggin' blast. So highly recommend going to the video game room in the middle of the night. It's a good time. So yeah, I guess that's probably it.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool. Very cool. And I forgot to ask you this, sorry, Darren, but any celebrity sightings of note?
Celebrity sightings? No, actually, I did not even make it to the Walk of Fame this year. Nope.
I rode in an elevator with
so famous.
So what's so memorable?
It was extremely memorable, but my brain keeps wanting to say George Takei, and that's not right.
Walter Koenig?
Yes. Oh my god, I'm a friggin' idiot. I do like Star Trek, I swear to god.
It's
I rode an elevator with Walter Koenig, and it was amazing. I didn't say anything to him, but I giggled internally.
Aww.
So
that's adorable.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty.
Were you in your porgy suit with you when you were there? Because that'd be even more adorable.
Do what?
Were you in your porg outfit?
No, it was actually, we were actually on our way up to the, I was working at the time, so, no, I was just in my regular clothes. But when we were our porgs, we did get some pictures with Borg cosplayers. Ooh. So that
oh,
was.
Oh, yes, Borgs and porgs.
Favorite things that had ever happened
Borgs
to me.
And Borgs.
Oh, that was a blast. Yeah, what about you guys? Celebrity sightings?
Well, a lot of Peter Capaldi. Tons of Peter Capaldi sightings. Well, especially because the green room was right across from where the American Classic Sci-Fi room was. So you saw the different celebrities, and Capaldi was going in and out. And I think... basically, I think Gary Mitchell's brain blew when they were doing the Planet of the Apes panel, and Capaldi ran in because he saw it from the hall. And he ran away from his whatever, his keeper, his handler. And the handler ran in and said, "What are you doing in here?" And Capaldi says, "Apes! There's apes in here!"
That's awesome.
And, he must have been a handful.
Oh, I heard he was having a blast. Well, and good. He was interacting with people. I saw him a couple times, like, heading over to the Walk of Fame and just walking up to people. Oh, what are you reading? What's this? Oh, this is interesting. And people, like, looking up and going, you know, and everything. And it's just awesome. And I know he made a couple appearances at some of the different like dances at night and some of the different things. And he didn't even try to disguise himself. He just was Capaldi. And so it was pretty awesome. Cause
that
I think he's
amazeballs.
Yeah. He's a fanboy at heart. And you know, I got to ride down an elevator with Felicia Day. So that was pretty awesome. And what was his name? Who was part of Firestorm?
Victor Garber.
Victor Garber. We got to ride down on another elevator with him.
Really? And, the Prime Minister of the gays. Yay.
And, yes. And, you know, he was really nice. And so he said hi to us and everything. I didn't have enough whereabouts to break out my phone. Can you say I never listened to Earth Station 1, please? So, but, you know, it was okay. So, but yeah, it was great. And, you know, it was a great con this year. It was just a lot of fun. And actually for me, I actually had a lot of downtime, even though I had 14 panels, they were spaced out perfectly that I actually had like all of Saturday afternoon off.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't go to any, you know, like of the huge panels, but I hung out with friends and got to, you know, see some people I hadn't seen in a while. So it was pretty cool. I didn't even make it to America's Mart. I had to hear how it was from Mike.
Yep. I didn't see you there. But it was great, actually. The move up to the fourth floor for the comic and pop artists was phenomenal, actually. I think a few of us were worried. And we were worried for a lot of reasons. We were worried that this was the first year, you know, how would things run without Tom? And we're in this big space and nobody's going to come up because they're not going to know if there's a fourth floor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, they
well, that, the people that the people that wanted to know found out because it was full all the time. And it was great having this sort of comic convention within a convention. You know, we talk about how the different tracks allow for different, you know, sub-conventions within Dragon Con, whether you have your own Star Trek convention, you have a Star Wars convention, you have a X-Files convention, you know, that kind of thing, like all within one umbrella. And I think a lot of us thought that, yeah, comics is there, but we never felt like it was an actual comic convention within Dragon Con. Well, this year, having that whole floor to ourselves... and having the guests that we had, Gail Simone, getting to talk to her again was great. Getting to talk to a number of the other guests, Jill Thompson, Francesco Francavilla, they are all, this was the first time, I was talking to Jill Thompson. This is the first time she's been to Dragon Con since Neil Gaiman came. And that was my first year, 1994, the first year that I went. And so she hadn't been back since then, but she was so impressed. She's like, I love the vibe of this place. She just was totally in love with it. And I'm hoping that she comes back. So we had a lot of great turnout. I think some people are still trying to make their way there. There was a lot of people that I talked to that said that they never got up to our floor or saw the line and turned around, didn't want to wait for that. So obviously that's going to be a deterrent. I don't know how you can adjust for that, but hopefully, you know, as it continues, they find some ways to deal with it, control that a little bit better. But you know, we had a great year sales wise, so I appreciate everybody who came by and bought stuff. I certainly appreciate everybody who came by and bought a copy of the new Earth Station 1 Tales of the Station book. That was a lot of fun. Having a lot of the writers and contributors was amazing to be there as well. The panels, I only did four this year, but they were a blast. The Friday night panel of the Council of Mikes was exactly everything that you want a panel in the American Sci-Fi Classics to be. It's just insanely fun.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun actually being with everyone, Mikes and Michelle's.
Yeah. Well, we only actually had one Michelle that showed up, but still it was because my Michelle just decided to stay home. That was a lot of fun, hanging out, because we know most of those guys. So it was just us being, you know, silly and stupid and fun. And then the Tiki panel on Sunday was a blast. The Earth Station Who panel was fun. And then the Monday State of the Industry Comics panel was insightful and well attended. You know, I started talking about how Monday was so deserted. We overshot for the panelists on Monday's panel because we thought half of them wouldn't show up. When we did the panel last year, only two artists showed up for that panel, even though we invited like six. So we decided to double down and we invited seven, and all of them showed up. So we had nice. We had this huge panel of seven artists and everything, I know. And only three people in the audience. No, just kidding. No, we had a pretty good crowd in the audience as well. So very exciting. I can't recall any specific celebrity sightings outside of, you know, the Walk of Fame area or anything like that. I did meet WWE superstar and women's champion Lita, so Amy Dumas, and that was cool. I've been wanting to do that for a while. And on behalf of my nephew, I met Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob, and he was awesome. I wish I'd gotten to see his band. Did anybody get to see his band perform?
I did see it on Dragon Con TV. It was right. Awesome.
Yeah, I definitely want to see if I can check that out at some point, because I do want his band sounds impressive, and he was so fun. And even though my nephew couldn't be there, he was so great to him. So on behalf of that, I appreciate him. So that was awesome. And just walking around, seeing the different other celebrities was fun. So but I had a great time. I mean, you know, going into this year at Dragon Con, I knew that there would be sort of a cloud overhead because, you know, again, it's the first time in a while, you know, the first time we're doing this without Tom. But it was nice that to see the comics area thrive. And even though he wasn't there in person, he was definitely there in spirit. I mean, his legacy is definitely in good hands, because the comic and pop artist alley is better than it's ever been. So I can't wait to see what it's like going forward. So I think it's in great hands. I think Jamie Reeves mostly in charge of that. And it's a credit to him that he was able to accomplish a lot, because I know he was close to Tom as well. So, but enough about all of our seasoned pros opinions of this wonderful weekend. It was my 25th, by the way. Have I announced that? My 25th in a row.
That's awesome.
But I want to hear from you, Ashley. We wanted to invite you on the show because it was your first time ever.
Yes. So I was very excited to finally get a chance to go. I think I've been doing stuff with ESO since probably like 2012. So it's been 6 years that I've heard about Dragon Con. And, you know, it's always been fun hearing you guys talk about it. And it was always like, yeah, I want to go someday. And then finally I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to make plans to go. And
Was there anything specifically for this particular one that made you want to come this year? Or was it just like the timing is now?
I think it was more just like the timing was now. And then I went to a con in Kansas City, Planet Comic Con, which I kind of think of as my local con. Now I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. It's like, I have to go to Dragon Con. So that kind of gave me the little push to go. And I'm so glad I went. It was really great. I was glad I listened to Mike Faber's advice that you cannot do everything you think you can do. Because before the con, as soon as the schedule released, I wrote down everything I wanted to go to. I think at one point I had 7 different panels I was interested in at the same hour slot. And so
it's a thing. Caffeine. Yeah, You can do it.
I was a little bit ambitious, but so I figured out pretty quickly, like, if you do that, you're just going to go crazy. So sometimes what I literally did was I would look at my schedule and think, you know, what panel is going to be in the quietest hotel? What's going to be the easiest one to get to? Or what one is literally in the room next to where I'm in now? So I didn't end up going to as many celebrity panels as I thought I would, but I was actually okay with that because I heard a lot of really cool stuff and ended up just going to some fun stuff on a whim. So I think there really is something to be said with just kind of going with the flow at Dragon Con, you know, pick one or two big things you want to do and then just kind of go with it and see what happens. I loved seeing the cosplay. I didn't get to see any celebrities, but sometimes seeing the cosplayers is like seeing a celebrity. Like, the costumes are so amazing. Like, it looks like they just walked in off a movie set. So I had a great time doing that. And also probably one of the highlights for me was Mary from Earth Station Who, and I got to interview a couple different people for the podcast, and that was really cool. I had originally thought that we were just going to be in like a press conference and that we'd maybe get to ask like 2 or 3 questions, and then Timothy Zahn walks in and it's like, it's just going to be us and him. So I was like, oh my gosh. But thankfully, I hope I carried myself with some dignity and didn't geek out too much. But that was really cool to be able to sit down and like interact with these people as a reporter. And it was just a really special experience, like something that, like a memory that I will have forever. So definitely I could go on and on, but it was a really great experience.
Well, I'm glad, you know, a lot of times we love it so much and we hype it up. We kind of forget that, oh, was it going to actually live up to the hype? And it's good to know that it does.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I think a part of that was too, just like being flexible as well, being open to new things. And another one of my favorite parts was just like getting to meet all you guys. Like, we've talked over Skype for 6 years, but it was so fun to actually be able to hang out in person. And I was actually feeling kind of sad, like as I walked out of the Marriott for the last time on Monday, I was like, oh man, I'm going to miss like hanging out in person with everybody. But it's cool now that we talk over Skype. It's like, oh, I remember that time we hung out in person. So
just another reason for you to come back. That's all.
Yes. So I'm definitely coming back. So I will not be a stranger at Dragon Con.
Awesome. Awesome. That is good to hear.
One of us.
Yes, yeah. Now I'm going to be bringing more people next time. It was a really great experience. So I'm going to see maybe who else I can rope into coming with me next time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I am not getting all of you media badges, though. No.
Me and my 12 friends. They're all reporters, right?
Well, we appreciate the quote-unquote work you did for us, because it was great. It was good to have you in Mary. Represent us in the media room. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was kind of cool getting to see it from both just like a regular fan and then kind of as a media from that perspective was kind of cool to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned cosplay, so that's a great segue for my next question. Of course, can't end this show without talking about all the great cosplay we saw. Starting with me, I was hoping that, you know, I was really excited last year when I saw just two people dressed up as characters from GLOW. But this year, oh my good, my cuppeth overfloweth. My goodness, it was everywhere. And I loved every one of them. I couldn't take enough pictures. They were everywhere, and I wanted to stop and take pictures of everybody, but I couldn't. I was just so excited to see all the representations of GLOW. I also, you know, other favorite shows of mine, Westworld, was well represented. So I took tons of pictures of Westworld folks. And I only saw a couple this year, but I got so excited when I saw some people dressed up from characters from The Good Place. I love it, you know, when I see people dressed up as, you know, shows and things that I'm really enjoying. So I was really excited about that. But I think, I don't know if they won the convention as far as, you know, popularity, but man, there was a lot of GLOW. A lot of GLOW represented. Anybody else to see any costumes of note?
Oh, plenty. The people who were dressed up as Kiss, but they were also dressed as French people, so they were French Kisses. there was tons, and there's this one guy who was there who was dressed as Thanos, and it looked like it was right out of the movie. It was just amazing.
And yeah, I think I saw him.
Yeah, there's plenty of people posing with him. And it was pretty awesome. I also saw there was a lot of Incredibles, and a lot of people were just actually as Edna Mole. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was one guy who was dressed as Judge Doom, and from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was spot on, and he even had the shoe with him, and the shoe was squeaking. And in certain times of the day, he actually had the dip with him too.
And he would lower the shoe into the dip.
It was awesome. It was really well done.
Oh my God. Did y'all watch The Masquerade?
Yes.
That monolith though.
Yes.
I lost it. We always watch it in our room and like eat pizza and just chill. Mm-hmm. I lost it. We just laughed so hard. Like, what an incredible idea. Mm-hmm. Minimal effort, maximum lols.
Final one from 2001, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, I didn't see the master.
You didn't see it? Oh my God, it was just a guy with like some PVC pipe and a black sheet strung over it in the middle of the monolith. And the entire skit was just the song and him standing there.
That's fantastic.
It was so funny.
That is awesome. No,
same thing, and then have someone in a Planet of the Apes get up with a bone, just cross the stage at the last minute.
That would have been awesome.
There were also some great new vehicles in the parade. The Sandcrawler from Star Wars.
Sandcrawler blew me away. That was so impressive. Sorry, I got excited to see that Sandcrawler. I mean, really it looks happy legit. All of a
sudden. No, it was awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah. It looked legit.
No, another one that I really loved, a friend of the show, John Strangeway, actually was part of Robin Hood Men in Tights. They were the Merry Men.
Oh, that was great.
There were a lot of Merry Men.
Yes, they were definitely very merry.
But there was a herd of Robins. So.
Yes. So it was pretty awesome.
And not Batman's. Robins,
yes.
And I would say, as a Dragon Con newbie, something that I found kind of funny, I'm still not sure I totally understand the whole thing, but as I understand it, there's like a Marriott carpet motif, and it was just really funny to see like how it was applied in different ways. Like I think I saw a like carpet Stormtrooper Deadpool. It was just so funny to see all like the pattern showing up on weird costumes. So I looked up a little bit about it later. It's like, what is up with all this weird pattern on everything? Yeah. So I got a kick out of that.
I'll tell you what, I mean, legit, like, people have really doubled down on the carpet because you cannot get away with it. It's almost to the point where I'm like, okay, really? Like, but you know, people enjoy it so much. Like, I'm going to take that away from them, but man, you just see it everywhere.
But in their defense, the new carpet kind of sucks.
Oh, absolutely it does.
I mean,
yes. Yes. Stripes. Nobody's going to cosplay as that in 10 years.
No one's going to walk like a crappy, literally Doppler radar feed costume, because that's just not pretty.
One of the first cosplays I saw when I got there on Thursday was Marriott Carpet Deadpool. And I grabbed a picture of him, and people should be able to check that out, because I think it's going to be the cover art for this episode. But that's a sort of I appreciate the Marriott Carpet Deadpool, because it's like a combination of two like oversaturated costumes at Dragon Con.
A group of Deadpools is called a murder of Deadpools.
Just waiting to see a Marriott Carpet Harley. You know, I'm sure there was one somewhere.
There was.
Yeah, there had to have been.
Yep,
yeah.
And she even had a Dragon Con sledgehammer, so it was perfect.
Oh, Lordy. The carpet will never jump the shark.
Yeah, I'm sure the maker of the carpet's going, wow, how are we getting all these orders for swatches?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the joke in the old days was, if you get drunk in the Marriott, don't look down, because you'll look at the carpet.
Yep.
And it'll make you go, like, because it's an interesting pattern, but it's really kaleidoscopic. And you need something that's going to keep you balanced, and that carpet was not it. So
it did kind of make you dizzy.
Yeah, a little bit. So like, just keep looking forward. Do not look down.
And it's ugly too. Like, listen, we all hate on the new carpet, but that old carpet was also ugly.
Oh yeah.
We just liked it because nerds don't like change.
Mario's not wrong. Hello. No. Yeah. Absolutely true.
I remember the first time I went to Dragon Con and I saw that carpet, I was like,
ew.
What?
I'm paying how much for this hotel?
Right, exactly.
There is something unique about hotel carpets in general, though. I mean, whenever you stay at a hotel, it seems like the carpets are kind of wacky. But that one in particular was...
It's almost as if they go to like the big stores somewhere out in the boonies and say, what's on sale?
Exactly.
Yep.
They go up to Dalton.
Not like, even Dalton. Dalton's quality carpet. Come on.
Yes, I'm sorry.
They get on Fiverr and say, create me a carpet pattern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Expand it to 1,000 square feet, please. Cut out the hole this big.
What is the worst carpet you can get for us?
Yeah.
We'll take it.
I do have a bone to pick while we're talking about hotels, but this is a Hyatt bone to pick. You would think with the amount of money that we pay a night to stay in these hotels that are some of the nicest hotels in Atlanta, we could get fly toilet paper. That's all I'm saying.
Girl, you're right. That's
wow.
Like, have that's you ever been ridiculous. To a friend's house and like, you know, they have money. Everything in their house is nice. And then they have the cheapest toilet paper. I just don't get it. Like, if you're going to cut somewhere, why that? Like, come on.
You might have been saying double the amount anyway. Mm-hmm. So come on.
Many, many years ago, my dad was staying with us, and I think we picked up some cheapy toilet paper just by accident. My dad came out of the bathroom and said, son, I know you're making a good living. Couldn't you afford a little bit better toilet paper?
Exactly, like, Dad.
With how much money we're paying per night, it's not too much asking for 2-ply. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Yes,
just these, isn't. This- Just
These are the kind of insightful observations that we are known for and why we have the listenership that we do on the Dragon Con Report.
Okay, so when you're hungover and you've been in the bathroom a long time, you notice these things.
No, I get it. I always wonder why the bathroom usually doesn't have a fan.
Yeah, that's why I always have to bring the bottle of industrial Febreze.
I'm like, 9 times out of 10, you're sharing a room with someone. You need a fan.
You need a fan and air conditioning, room deodorizer, big time. Exactly. Especially by Saturday, because all that mall food, hello.
Absolutely.
It's just not pretty. It's not pretty. That's why you don't go to the bathroom down in the basement of the Hyatt. I call it the bowels of the Hyatt for a reason. Everyone goes down there because they don't want to stink up their own room.
Oh, I know many friends who have scoped out where the best bathrooms are at Dragon Con. And maybe that's an episode we should really invest in.
No, that's a secret we need to keep.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. That's true. We don't want to... Look what happened to the secret food court, right? I
know, right. Thanks, Faber.
Hey.
Meanwhile, if you don't poop by Sunday of Dragon Con, you may have a problem. So there's that. Just saying.
Yes. All right.
So, have we gone on a tangent sufficiently now? Want to talk about Deadpool again? We can do that.
I think we're going to have to get ready to hear from our other folks that are joining us. So this is a perfect way to wrap up this segment. But I am so glad
Mike's done with us.
I know, right?
No. Not me. Like, if it was up to me, like, we could just keep going on. But this show, unfortunately, is a certain time limit. So I'm all in. Anyway, so I'm really glad that everybody had a great convention experience. I fear that there's going to be 1 year where somebody, you know, comes back and says, oh, man, that was crappy. I mean, we've kind of lost some guest hosts because of similar things. So hopefully that, you know, the years to come, 2019, we'll do it again. Yeah. And everything looks like it's going to be just as big and as bold and as awesome as ever for 2019.
Everything's coming up Milhouse, baby.
All right. Well, we will now hear from Michelle on her experience at DragonCon.
And now we're here with our friend Michelle Biddick-Simmons from Drop by DragonCon. And did you survive by DragonCon, or did you drop right after?
Oh, no, I dropped during DragonCon. I actually got heat stroke, which is why most people didn't see me.
Oh.
I missed so many meetups. Paul basically had to keep bringing me Pedialyte and water. And I finally, I think it was 2 days after the parade, like I got back up and going on Sunday, but had to keep going back to the room and resting whenever I could. It was really rough. It was because it was so hot and humid, and usually I'm really good at keeping hydrated, but I had the chills during the parade. And I knew, I was like, oh, no. And at the end of the parade, I looked upon, I said, we have to get to the room right now. So I didn't get to see a lot of the people I wanted to see. It was really rough.
Well, what happened? Did you, you know, Atlanta's always hot and humid, so it shouldn't have been a surprise.
If you've ever had people never get told this by their doctor, and I don't get why not. If you have ever had heat exhaustion or heat stroke, it makes it much easier for you to get. And I had been drinking my water. I had been doing all that, but I had not been replacing my salt. I hadn't been doing the Pedialyte from the start, or making sure that when I don't do a lot of salt. And so you basically, my muscles felt like someone had been beating on me, and it's happened before. And it's actually because, you know, sodium, potassium, calcium, certain things you need your muscles to have, and particularly sodium and calcium, in order for your muscles to work. And it was bad. It was really bad. And poor Paul, I mean, he went and he got me stuff and lined it up. This is the second time this has happened at a Dragon Con. And it was basically from the same stupid thing that I wasn't making sure before we got there that I was up on this. And so we got done with the parade. My, you know, I'm in that big pink ball gown. I took my wig off. My wig was soaking wet. My hair was soaking wet. We got to the room. I got in the shower right away. I started trying to rehydrate right away, but I just got myself to the point where it took me at least a day plus to get back to being somewhat normal. And everybody, we let people know that I wasn't going to make meetups. Everybody was really nice about it. Thursday night, I got to make the meetup. That was great. So we had the drop-by meetup. It was smaller than it normally is because we had a second one planned. But it was so nice to be able to just sit and talk with people. And that was probably one of the two very favorite things. And the puppetry slam. That, if I had not made the puppetry slam, I would have been so upset. But it's always wonderful. I've had one bad puppetry slam, but it was because I didn't feel well. The speakers were off. We were over in a really bad location. They had not planned the room well. And with puppetry stuff, everybody needs to be in a straight line kind of. And they had decided that, if we just put screens up, that'll work. And that's not, because puppets, you need to see them to be able to see the magic. And this one, the magic was, it was wonderful. But I think I told you last year, they had convinced me, friends, to finally get the disability thing, because I have two things, but one we'll just talk about. I have very severe panic attack disorder. Most of the time, I have no problem. But you're going to laugh about this one. So I got stuck in an elevator when I was really little, and I lived in Thailand, and I was in the elevator for 18 hours in a British elevator in the dark, and no one had come home. My dog sat outside the elevator the entire time. And since then, I'm okay with the glass elevators. Other elevators I get a little tense with. But for me, if I'm sitting in a big crowd of people and I can't get out, if it hits me, it's bad. And usually I'm fine about it, but I have found DragonCon is one of my triggers certain times. And so I finally went and I got my disability pass. I've only used it like four, maybe five times. And it helps so much. And those people at the disability services are so gracious and kind. And really, if you have something that you need to deal with like that, they are really fabulous about it.
Well, that's a good question. What do you get from being with disability services? I'm just curious. We've never really asked. Yeah. Yeah. Do you get, access to certain things?
No. Well, let me explain how it works. For me, they're not legally allowed to ask you stuff, but you have to kind of tell them what you need. And my thing is, put me on an end. If I can be on the end, and usually at DragonCon, I've never had a problem, I'll just tell people, would you please let me sit on the end? Because if I don't sit on the end, if something happens and I can't get out of here, I will start having a panic attack. And it's only happened twice. And I think I'm kind of the reason that they changed a policy, that DragonCon changed a policy. Because I explained the law to somebody who told me that if I left the masquerade, I would not be allowed back in. And I explained to him that if I did not leave the masquerade, there would be hell to pay. And I pointed to the front and said, do you see those gentlemen right there? I can guarantee you they have congestive heart failure. And I said, you have at least seven pregnant women. And I said, if you tell them what you just told me, you are guaranteed to be sued. And he was like, okay, go ahead and go. And so by the time I got back, they had the stamps and the flashlight. This is like 17, 16 years ago. And we're checking, like, if you had to go to the bathroom, they would stamp you into the flashlight. But I think I'm kind of the reason that they changed that, because you don't do that to human beings. Everybody.
No, not at all.
Someone has to get up and leave. They need to get up and leave. But yeah, you go and you don't have to tell them legally what the issue is, but you just need to tell them what you need. And they really just want to know what they can do for you. And so when I used this, I've used it twice for the puppetry slam. And once when my back was so bad because of the car accident, I have an issue. And I was like, I can't stand anymore. And they are so nice about it. You go over and you can sit in their seats if you need to. And you have a plus one that can come with you. You're not allowed to hold seats, which I wouldn't do anyway, because that's just not fair to anybody. But you get a sticker that denotes what you need. If you're hearing impaired, need to be able to see the person signing, have vision issues and need to be close up, that's all covered. If you need if you have a wheelchair, if you need to be seated because of back issues or neurological issues, they get you in right away. And the guy that does the puppetry track is fabulous. He tells you where he wants you to go. He makes sure that he gets everybody lined up the way he needs them done, and you get taken care of. And last year I had where he seated me last year was good, except someone came in and was really huge in front of me, like tall, and I'm short, and I ended up having to lean out because I'm slightly hearing impaired, so I need to be able to see things. Yeah, I'm just telling you all this stuff. I'm a military brat, so too many years in airplanes when I had ear infections. So at times I will just like concentrate so I can see stuff. But this year it was perfect. It was such a beautiful, it was so well done.
That's awesome. It is interesting when you see, because, you know, so many people who you don't expect have issues, and I'm glad you were able to, you know, get in touch with that and be able to take advantage of it.
I think that everybody just needs to be aware that if you look at a group of five people, I can almost guarantee that two or three people and one in five will have some sort of health issue. And most people don't ever talk about it. You don't know what it's going to be. But I'm very happy that people are finally I finally gave in.
Well, I'm glad about that, because I know someone personal to me is almost embarrassed to be able to do something like that, even though she needs it.
I was embarrassed. Sure. And finally, my friends, I have a couple of friends with MS and other issues, and they were like, Michelle, just damn it, do it. And because I was like, you know, and they're like, we see you standing there, because I'll be in line and I'll be belly dancing. Like, I'll be shimmying and stuff. And why am I doing that? To actually put my vertebrae back in place. And I finally told people now that I'm like, did you get your sticker? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you need to, people I don't know, I'll go up and say, have you gone to disability services and told them you need a sticker? No. I'm like, do it, because you cannot stand in this line. I'm watching you. And they're like, oh, and you know, I have this wrong. I'm like, just go talk to them, because you know, that's what they're there for. And it does make, I mean, I don't use it every time. Most of the time when we go to panels, I don't use it. But when I can't take it anymore, I will use it.
No, I totally understand that. For people who don't know, where can they go for the handicap services and disability services?
Basically, as soon as you come out of getting your DragonCon badge, it's almost always in the bottom of the Sheraton to your left. So when you come out from getting your badge, if you pre-reg, et cetera, look to your left over in the far corner. And you go over, you get a number, you get in line. They'll have, like, if you already paid for your pass, because some of them will go over. What they do is they go and get your badge for you if you are, it's like different things. Like, I pre-reg, so they just put a sticker on me. The ones that they can just go and get their badge, where it's actually built into their badge for them, they do that as well. But it's worth doing. It's so funny that this is what it's become, that I'm talking about this for DragonCon. But it did this particular year actually make my life a hell of a lot easier, because I barely made any panels. And the ones I did, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and just use it, because I was already in such a situation where my muscles were just fried. And it just made, I mean, I was freezing in every single panel this year. And that's when my sodium is like so low. And I know that that's happening. And I'm going to bring a jacket to DragonCon again. It's so weird. It's like I'm freezing to death while sitting in a panel. I'm like, okay.
No, understandable. Totally understandable. So before we get out of here, what was your biggest highlight?
What was my biggest highlight this year? Other than the puppetry track, which I have to say, I love. Puppetry slam is exquisite. Actually, some of the pieces of artwork that I was able to buy this year, and talking to the artist, because I barely made it into the dealer's area. And we go and we buy artwork every year, but this year there were just a few pieces that really grabbed me. But you know what? Just getting to talk to the people that I love, because I did get to spend more time just sitting and talking to people and hearing great stories. And, you know, I'll tell you one of my friends, who's a drop buyer. Actually, we have several people that are transitioning, and, it was so nice to be able to see them being who they are, and in a group of people that there are, you know, thousands of people, and they're glowing because they're going to cry because they're finding who they are. It was wonderful to see that.
That is awesome. So I guess this is farewell for right now, but do you want to give any messages or how to find Drop By Dragon Con?
You can find us on Facebook. It's the group, not the page. Answer the questions and I'll get you vetted as fast as possible. We're actually starting a 100-day challenge that ends on January 2nd. It started on the 24th of September, and we're breaking it into three 100-day challenges. For each week, you post what you want to get done that week, and then at the end of the week, you post how you did. Everything's baby steps. We're trying to start off on the best foot this year, so that next year, A, I can go out and do stuff, because damn it, this was horrid for me. But B, everybody feels better about themselves. And I think having the first day be January 2nd, you know, the end of the first 100 days, is kind of exquisite, because it gets you into the new year already having reached several goals, even if they're small goals. The small goals get you there faster.
That is awesome. Well, Michelle, I hope you have a great winter, and we will see you in 2019.
Okay. Love to both of you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Ciao, baby.
And now it's time for our final look at hotels for this year with Eternal Zan. Hey, Zan, how was your con?
It was excellent.
Was it, you know, everything you expected it to be, or was it, you know, just a typical Dragon Con, everything going on all the time?
Yeah, it was a typical Dragon Con. You know, you make alternate plans. Some things work out, some things don't. Maybe you have like one more rum bucket that you had than you had planned, you know. So yeah, typical Dragon Con.
Oh yeah, exactly. So that's cool. I'm glad you had a great time. So I know the big reason we have you up here is you're our hotel guru. So what's going on, especially with the Hunger Games about to hit?
Well, with the Hunger Games, the Marriott is one of the ones that people refer to as having Hunger Games. And the official booking day for that has not been announced yet. In the past, it's been in early October, and you check the host hotels page on the DragonCon website for more news about that. So for right now, just keep hitting refresh on that page, because that page right now for the Marriott and for some other hotels still has 2018 booking information. So you just have to stay current on that so you can get the 2019 booking information. And then I have some notes on the other host hotels, because generally you'll get more news about the overflows after the Marriott books. So do you want me to just go down the list, or is there a particular one you'd like me to start with?
Why not start with what's been going on with the Sheraton? Because I know they've been having a lot of issues and a lot of people are up in arms, especially the Legacies.
Oh, yeah, that was a disaster. Okay, so what happened is they opened the Sheraton host hotel opened reservations 4 days ahead before they'd previously announced. So at first they said, the Sheraton had said they were going to stop all Legacy reservations, which of course Legacy people weren't happy about. And then everyone would have to book on September 17th. I mean, in person at the Sheraton during the convention, they were handing out a flyer with a code word to anyone who asked at the front desk. They didn't like check to see if you were staying there or anything. So the code word was widely distributed online, which Legacy people understandably weren't happy about. But at the time, the Sheraton had said there wouldn't be any Legacy anymore. So it legitimately seemed like the code word was supposed to be for the Dragon Con rate, not just for Legacy people. And people new to booking Dragon Con hotels, there often is a code that you need to enter if you're booking on the website or a link. And that code is just for people to get the Dragon Con rate. It doesn't have anything to do with legacy. But then on September 14th, so 4 days early, they sent an email to everybody who stayed there this year and announced they'd be opening reservations for 2019 in 1 minute. So they sent an email at like 8:59 in the morning and said, hey, reservations open at 9. And of course, a lot of people are at work then. So yeah, the Sheraton was just a big old mess this year for many reasons. And just like previous years, they took 100% of the full amount up front and it's all non-refundable.
You're kidding. Wow.
Yeah. So if you wanted a Sheraton room at the Dragon Con rate and you didn't happen to be checking your email or like the Dragon Con room's Facebook group, or I'm sure lots of other Facebook groups, you could have just easily missed getting a room.
Oh, I could totally understand that. And I knew a few people who were staying at the Sheraton for the last couple of years, and they're like, no more. Uh-uh. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people feel that way, and I can't blame them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Westin went on sale 2 days after the convention ended, and they're all sold out. And they have a history of releasing more rooms throughout the year, so keep an eye out for that. But I think they only take a two-night deposit. The good thing about the Westin this year is they went on sale on Wednesday, and in the past couple of years, they've gone on sale on Tuesday. So, you know, for a lot of people, they're flying or driving back home on Tuesday. So it really wasn't a convenient date for a lot of Westin people to get a room, because they just couldn't be online at that time. So I think it was nice that for the Westin, they released it on Wednesday so people had a chance to get home and get some sleep before they just had to book a room right away. The Hilton, they've booked all their legacy rooms already. They sent out information to the people already staying there on what they needed to do. And you could go in person at the convention and fill out a form and give them your credit card information. So the unofficial word is that they may release more rooms in January, but we don't know if they'll be at the convention rate. And there's really no official news on that. So we just kind of have to keep an ear open to see what else happens with the Hilton throughout the year. And for the Hyatt legacy, that's pretty important. Monday, October 1st is the deadline to update your credit card on file for the deposit they'll be taking out on October 2nd. So if you have a Hyatt legacy room or your roommate does, make sure they know to make sure your card is valid and the expiration date has not passed. Or, you know, maybe if you got mailed a new chip card or something and you need to replace the card on file. Because, and this is true for all the hotels with deposits, if your deposit doesn't come out successfully when they try to charge it, then your room will be just canceled with no advance warning. So in the case of the Hyatt, if you're not already a Hyatt Rewards member, it's free to join. And you can save up to 3 credit cards in your profile in your Hyatt account. And that way, you know, at least you've got some backup cards on file if your primary one fails, which, you know, you should still update your primary one because, you know, it's not, I don't know for sure that if the primary one fails, they automatically try to charge the backup ones. I just know that, you know, hey, that's an option. So if it were me, I'd take it. I'd be like, yes, I want to put these backup cards on file just in case.
No, it totally makes sense. And, you know, better to protect yourself.
Yeah. So for people that, you know, just don't have anything yet, a good tip I have for you is if you don't already have a room, deposit deadlines, which mostly apply to the host hotels, they're a good chance to start checking the hotel website for new availability because canceled rooms may become available at the full rate, which can be double the discounted Dragon Con rate. So they're more expensive, but rooms at a full rate, you can pay for them with hotel rewards points if you have enough saved up. And sometimes there are sales where you can buy hotel rewards points. So it's a way to get a room. And a good thing about rooms that are not at the Dragon Con rate is they generally have more generous cancellation policies. So you could book a room with points, pay no deposit, and have the ability to cancel it later if a better opportunity came up.
No, totally understand that. And it's better, like you said, to protect yourself and also, you know, look at all the fine print. And especially with Dragon Con, you know, rates and such, there are little loopholes which you're going to have to jump through and such to make sure you get it.
Yeah, yeah. Always read all the fine print. And, you know, when it says, like, click here for deposit policy, click here for cancellation policy, definitely, if that information has not already been posted on the DragonCon website, and honestly, even if it has, you know, check during the actual booking process to make sure that the information that you've already been given is correct and that it's what you expected. And if it's not, make sure it's something that you're comfortable with if there has been a change.
Exactly. So better safe than sorry, folks.
Yep.
And it's better safe than, you know, make sure you're all prepared now instead of waiting for, you know, like Zan said, if your credit card for some reason has, say, a March expiration date of 2019, or, you know, you have other big purchases coming up, you know, make sure you're going to be fully stocked and fully credit card ready.
Yeah, and you can ask your roommates to contribute too, you know, especially like if you're staying at the Sheraton and they take 100% in advance, you can contact your roommates and say, hey, I'm going to try and get a Sheraton room, or this deposit's going to come out of my account. Can you front me, you know, your portion of the deposit or your portion of the room so that you don't have to cover it all yourself?
Exactly. So better safe than sorry.
Yep.
So very cool. All right. Any other last tidbits before we head out for the year, Zan?
I think we've pretty much covered it. You know, as always, if you have questions about hotel rooms, I recommend the Facebook group called Dragon Con Rooms. And if you want to contact me directly, you can go to the contact form at www.dragonconeternalmembers.com. Of course, there's a lot of information about the Eternal membership on that page, which, oh yeah, the Eternal membership, it's $3,000 now. There was a price jump. Not really a surprise. It'd been 4 years since they jumped up the price. So, you know, that's the news on that. And if you've ever been a volunteer or you're thinking about it, there's an unofficial fan group for that called Dragon Con Volunteers. So nope. That's all the unofficial stuff I've got. Do you have anything?
Nope. I think, you know, basically, folks, check out the hotels group on Facebook. It is well worth your time. It'll give you the exact dates of when things will be going through. And then a lot of people will be bragging, hey, I got a room. And then you know who to mug and everything. So it's okay.
Well, of course, we don't recommend that. But yeah,
no.
Yeah, especially when things are happening live. I agree. That's where it's very helpful. So, for example, when the Westin bookings were happening, there was a huge thread with everybody helping each other that morning.
Exactly. Pretty awesome, folks. Definitely check it out. Well, thank you, Zan. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next year.
See you next year.
And now joining us, another person I didn't get to see this year at Dragon Con we have with us. But, you know, we know that we can't see everybody. And actually, you know, in 25 years, I've only seen him once. So, and that was really brief, but maybe that's on purpose. Kevin Batchelder joins us on the station. Welcome back.
Thank you. We're going to literally have to plan something, Mike, aren't we?
I think it's going to have to come down to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if it's not on the schedule, it's not happening.
Exactly. And even then, yeah. But how was your Dragon Con? Have you recovered?
Well, no, I caught myself the con crud this year. So
Oh no.
Yeah, that's rare. I usually am able to avoid it, but this year I didn't. So it's both mentally and physically, it's been a bummer. Cause yeah, I had a great time again.
All those newbies. No. Sorry.
Yeah. And there were a lot of them, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I heard that it was pretty amazing that there was a huge group of people before you even opened the doors, so to speak.
Yeah, I usually go up to the room that we have. The con has assigned us the Marriott over at A601. Great room to be able to do our thing from. So I usually get up there a couple hours ahead of time just to, you know, check to make sure the room is set up, the chairs, the mics. Not that the con doesn't always cover it, but, you know, kind of my thing to make sure our stuff's ready to go.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, 90 minutes before our event was scheduled to start, there was already a bunch of people waiting to get in and go on the tours. It was insane how crazy it was.
Now, did you, I mean, were you able to handle the crowd? I mean, do you ever get to a point where you had to turn people away?
No, we never so far have had to turn anyone away, but good folks like Mike, the folks who are the tour guides are the ones who end up paying the price because they, you know, barely go out from a tour, come back, and rather than getting a few minutes to sit and wait, we've got to push them out pretty fast. So it's quite the challenge. And,
you guys were slave drivers, I'm telling you.
How many tour guides do you have? Because each tour takes about like a little over half an hour or so, right?
Oh, contrary, almost an hour.
Okay.
The tour.
Yeah, gotcha. And especially one of the things we noticed this year too, and I suspect many other attendees did as well, is things were so much busier earlier on Thursday that it makes doing the tours harder. That's part of the reason why we started doing the tours on Thursday, because that used to be when things were quiet, and we might have to reevaluate our starting time next year because it, as Mike pointed out, with so many other people around, it takes even longer to do the tours, which makes it harder to come back and do even more of them. So, but it was a good thing. I mean, yeah, we had, again, hundreds of folks show up over the course of the, you know, officially the 2.5 hours that we were doing the tours. But yeah, we had folks all the way there right up till we finished around 5 o'clock. And again, big thanks to folks like Mike and all the other tour guides because they were the real heroes that day going out and doing all these tours.
Yeah.
The big problem with it.
You're a hero.
I'm a hero. Wow. Now, actually, truthfully, the big problem, like Kevin had said, was it was almost too crowded with how many people were walking around the con already and hanging out or people were drinking already. And, you know, just trying to get the tours through the crowds was tough.
Yeah, I saw you, Mike, at one point trying to navigate a crowd of folks through the food court.
Exactly, and it
that,
was just like
that wasn't easy because I was like, how can he tell? Like how many? Like you could easily lose somebody that way.
Oh, we did. You know, I'm sure we did. I'd almost guarantee it. Because it's not just myself who's do the tour guide, but we also have a handler who's at the back of the group trying to keep everyone huddled in and trying to keep them fairly close so they can hear what we're talking about also. And that even was tough in some of the hotel spots, having to really yell over the crowds.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, that's one of the things we do every year. We have to evaluate how things went. And I think with con growing quite a bit, we might have to shift when we do the tours just to make it easier for the guides and more valuable for the people who go on the tours too.
It is amazing. I mean, I saw pictures of the Marriott and some of the other hotels and areas on Wednesday night, and it was insane. Yeah, it does seem like it's starting earlier. And then with it officially starting on Thursday with a lot of programming now, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, but the newbie stuff went great. We do the usual Q&A sessions too, one later on Thursday after the tours and then one first thing Friday morning. And those are both well attended. They're just open Q&As. So It's always good to be able to get some info there. So, yep, newbie stuff was fun and challenging as always.
Well, what else were some of your highlights? I know that, you know, big Lost Girl fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that had to be, I mean, almost it seemed like almost the entire cast was there.
They were. You had 9 members of the cast. That, you know, might even be a record for Dragon Con in terms of the number of people from the same show. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Also, Carol Malcolm, who runs the Urban Fantasy track, is a good friend. And because her schedule was so busy with many other things, she needed a track rep to kind of be the backstage person to be there at a couple of panels. So she was kind enough to let me do that. So I got to be backstage with the cast too at their panels. So that made for a very special experience too. So that was pretty fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Great, great. Good for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I also had the chance this year too to moderate a cast panel for the Killjoys guests. This year, the con had Aaron Ashmore and Tamsin McDonough. So they did a panel on Sunday, and Kelly from the American Sci-Fi and Fantasy Track gave me that honor to moderate their panel. So that was a lot of fun. That was a full room over in the Hilton, too.
I was going to say, that's one of the bigger rooms, right? Not just a panel room.
Oh, yeah. No, it was, I think, 1,000, ballpark 1,000 folks were in on that one.
Yeah. Do you get the butterflies a little bit?
Now, having done, you know, several Wine on Earp cast panels at Dragon Con and other cons, it becomes a little more I won't say as many butterflies, but I still get that excitement. It's still my love of con in these shows. So yeah, there's that little bit of that excitement. And it also is interesting too at the Killjoys one, is, as you folks know, and many of you have been to con for a few years, oftentimes one of the great things about Dragon Con panels with guests is that 90% of the time it's questions from the audience. So as a moderator, you're kind of kicking things off and kind of keeping things going, but you don't have to do many of the questions. But the Killjoys fans were a little on the quiet side. So about halfway through the panel, there was no one else in line to ask a question. So I had to go back to a few that I had prepped with, and then they had a second wave. I guess what we were talking about encouraged a few more fans to get in line. So, but for a little while there, it was like, wow, this is new. I guess I better get what I'm getting paid for here and come up with some discussion topics.
Yeah, I've actually been on in a similar situation where, you know, the celebrity guest, you'd think everybody, you know, would want to just keep asking questions until it was beyond time to go. But sometimes it just dies and you're like, okay. So, but I mean, yeah, that's why you do your research a little bit. And it's good to have, like yourself, you know, fans of those shows be moderators, not to fan out, not to geek out, you know, during the entire panel, because Lord knows I've seen that happen too. But, you know, just so that they're knowledgeable and they actually have questions that, you know, that are relevant, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's what kind of happened. A couple of things that came up that they were talking about, I was able to make the mental note of going a little further on those topics since I knew
the
show. So you're absolutely right. It made it a lot of fun.
Any other highlights as far as panels for you?
Well, I also, as I've done the past couple of years, was the moderator for the Wynonna Earp fan panel.
Sure.
Which is always a great honor too. Carol asked me to do that as well, so that was fun there. And speaking on several panels, as I, you know, that's my bread and butter, things like the Magicians and Buffy and iZombie and also the Killjoys fan panel, just made for a ton of fun.
It is I mean, fan panels, I mean, it's nice to do the celebrity panels, but the fan panels are you know, so quite a unique experience, I think, at Dragon Con more than any of the other shows, any other cons really, simply because I think other cons have fan panels, to be sure, but, you know, Dragon Con has kind of got to the point where fan panels, and I think we've talked about this before, are really well done. I mean, they're really interactive with the fans, and they're not just, I can remember times when they were kind of dry and not very interesting, but I think they've kind of moved way past that, and that they're, I hear a lot of people talk about fan panels being like better than celebrity panels.
Yeah, that's the stuff that I every year look forward to the most. Not that these guests aren't wonderful, but as we talked, I think, in some previous podcasts, it's really that chance to interact with other fans that I look forward to. We also had a nice surprise at the Killjoys fan panel. Actually, about probably halfway through, Tamsin McDonough, who is one of their guests, she does the voice of Lucy, the ship on Killjoys. She snuck into the back of the room on the fan panel and was there, and actually kind of asked a general question about Lucy. But the funny thing was, since she was at the very back of the room, most of the fans who were already there didn't recognize her and didn't know who it was. So I could tell, and I think a couple of the other panelists did, but we didn't want to like make everybody feel uncomfortable or whatever. So she just was only there for a few minutes, but it was kind of a nice thing that, again, one of those things that you can kind of say only at Dragon Con, when the guests can actually come to the fan panel and be a part of it.
We have seen a number of that over the years, and this year too. I mean, even as we've mentioned in the main part of the show, even Peter Capaldi took an interest in some of the fan panels, if only really briefly. You know, he managed to geek out as well, and that's what's really fun about it. I mean, the celebrities aren't this just there to be on a pedestal behind glass. You know, they really get the chance, if they want to interact with the fans in a way that I don't see that happening at a lot of other shows.
Oh, exactly. That is. We've talked about that many times here. I know, and I'm sure you guys have as well. So another textbook example this year of just how much fun it is. Just all of us having fun.
Absolutely. Any other highlights?
Those were the big things, really. You know, just, again, seeing a lot of folks, unfortunately not you, but a lot of other folks. I only see the once a year, and, you know, hanging out, attending a few panels too, along with speaking on them. It's just that whole atmosphere I just love so much. It, you know, it was another great time for me. I keep wondering every year, when is it going to kind of maybe get routine or not as much fun, but it never happens. Once I get there and you get in the moment, you start seeing everybody and interacting, it's just like kid at Christmas again.
That's the way I feel. I mean, I've been saying all during this episode, this is my 25th in a row, and I still just am not over it. In a lot of ways, I don't want to say it feels like my first, because, you know, obviously I'm seasoned and I know what's what, but the level of excitement is still there. I don't think that's gone away.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it was also a little special for me too at the Lost Girl events, those couple of ones where I got to be backstage. At one point I'm just introducing myself or saying hello, so the cast members know I'm there, just as someone else to help them if they need something representing the Urban Fantasy track. And as I think I mentioned on a previous podcast, I had the great honor this year of having a character on Wynonna Earp named after me, and it was actually one played by Anna Silk from Lost Girl who was there. So I had mentioned this to her at a previous con when I saw her, so she again chuckled at, you know, with the "Hi, Kevin," Kevin, because that's the character she played. So that was kind of cool. I mean, as a fan, it's one of those things you really ever get to have happen. So it's pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, very cool. Well, we definitely appreciate everything that you do for the convention, everything that you do for this podcast throughout the year. It's always great to chat with you. And we get about 3 or 4 months so we can rest up and start it all anew.
Yep, exactly. Got to start making notes and planning for 2019.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks again. And where can people find you on the off season?
All of my podcasting stuff for When I'm to Earp and all the other genre shows I do is over at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com. And the DragonCon newbie stuff always lives at dragonconnewbies.org.
Awesome. Awesome. And keep an ear out and keep an eye out for listeners for an episode of Earth Station 1, the regular podcast that Mike and I do on a weekly basis, because, you know, come hell or high water, we're going to get Kevin in the geek seat at some point. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but he's going to get there. So
going to make it happen.
Yeah, we will. We definitely will. Well, cool. Thanks so much, sir.
My pleasure. Take care.
And so we draw a wait before we close out the show. I do have an important announcement, about it's related to Earth Station One, and it's related to the publishing arm of Earth Station One. Of course, we saw the debut of Earth Station One Tales of the Station Volume 3 this year, but next year we will not be doing a Tales of the Station. We will be doing a book called Dragon Tales. Earth Station One presents Dragon Tales, and we are looking for people to contribute to this book. It's about stories, memories, observations, even essays, non-fictional accounts of your past experiences at DragonCon. And it's a celebration of the show we love. So if you want to find out more information about this book, because we will be starting production of it within actually a few months, please reach out to us at ESO. You can contact DragonCon Report at ESOnetwork.com, and we will see it. Or you can message me on Facebook or any of the social media. So please, we want you to be part of that book. We're looking for all kinds of submissions. So if you've got an idea, please reach out to us. And now we can draw a close to our ninth and final episode of the 2018 DragonCon Con Report. A big thanks to everyone for joining us, not only for this episode, but for all the season long. I think we figured out this is our sixth season of doing the DragonCon Con Report in the sort of this form. So I know it started off as a segment on the regular Earth Station One podcast many, many moons ago. But I think this is actually the sixth year we can consider that this actually the DragonCon Con Report. And a big thanks to everybody for being part of it this year, including Michelle Biddick-Simmons, Eternal Zan, Kevin Batchelder, of course, and our station crew. Darren, you have been with us since the beginning, and it's awesome to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. I look forward to the contract negotiations for next season.
Oh yeah, is it a free agent year? Is your contract up? Is that it? We got to negotiate.
You know me.
Well,
I have very high demands and standards.
Well, I know that there's so much ESO money going around. So, you know, I hope I good luck getting a piece of that. But where can people find you in the off season, sir?
Legion of Substitute Podcasters is usually where I hang my hat. We talk about all the DC Comics Legion goodness, of which there is none right now, which is irritating to me as a Legion fan. But we also talk about old issues and all that kind of stuff and current comic book goings on, that kind of thing. And also, I'm sometimes on the station giving you a little LGBT pop culture.
I do believe something is like that of that nature is coming up fairly soon.
I've heard tale.
Awesome. Awesome. Mary, thank you so much for joining us this year.
Absolutely, guys. Glad to do it.
You have also been there from the beginning. So thank you for that as well.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me all this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And where can people find you during the off season?
You can find me on Twitter or at Mary Lou Who blog, and I'm also streaming on Twitch. Mary Lou Games is my username on there, so feel free to add me.
Yes, and absolutely seek out those pictures of her in the Porg outfits, her the Porg crew.
Several on the Dragon Con Facebook group. So
guys, if you're are interested in seeing it. So adorable.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Ashley. This was your first visit to this side of the station. Thanks for coming on board and telling us all about your first time experience.
Oh, thank you. I am always looking for an excuse to talk about Dragon Con. So I had a blast. So thanks for letting me share some memories.
You definitely have it in your blood now, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I will be back.
Life changing, isn't it?
Yes. It's like before Dragon Con, after Dragon Con. So.
It's one of those pivotal life events.
Yes.
Well, I know that people can find you occasionally, of course, on the Earth Station 1 podcast, as well as a weekly blog that you do on the ESO Network.
Yes. We'll be wrapping up. I've been doing transcribing some of the interviews that Mary and I did from Dragon Con. So I think the last of those is coming up next week, and then working on some fun stuff, hopefully, for the rest of this fall.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we appreciate the work that you do. And also, we're going to plug some of your other projects, too, which is I know you spend a lot of time blogging over there with the Story Geeks.
Yes. And I'm actually in the middle of the Women of Star Wars blogathon right now. So have been really enjoying that, taking a look at the different Star Wars female characters. So it's been a busy September, but a good month.
Awesome. Well, we thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you.
Always we feel so fortunate to have her still.
Oh, well, so, well, I will never forget my friends at ESO. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of which, and thank you, Director Faber, because, of course, none of this would be possible at all without you.
Oh, exactly. And I'm the one who negotiates the contract, so it'll be interesting to see who comes back or not.
Ashley, there may be an opening.
How do you feel about hosting a Dragon Con report?
Whoa, hey now.
So is there a job opening here coming
all
up?
All right, so let's wrap this up.
Should I be scared?
We try to cover all we can with these special reports that we do, but to keep up with everything that happened post Dragon Con and the latest news for 2019, please check out the official Dragon Con website. All their social media outlets, all the tracks are active on Facebook, so you can keep that Dragon Con feeling going. Not the con crud, but the good feeling that you experience at Dragon Con. You can keep that going all year round. We are here on the network can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Stitcher. We want you to be part of the discussion, so please feel free to join us on all those groups. The Dragon Con Report is sponsored this year by Borderlands Comics and Games in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. We cannot thank Robert enough for helping us sponsor this show. Go visit his store. Go visit his store. He's opening up a brand new one. Lots of exciting things are happening in Greenville for Borderlands Comics and Games. And be sure to check out SC Comic-Con next year, 2019. He's got a great lineup for that. So for more information, just check out all the details at borderlands.us. And be sure to check out the Amazon link at the top of the ESONetwork.com site. It doesn't cost you any more to purchase your stuff. It really does help us out a lot. In addition to we have a T Public store filled with cool designs and our Patreon, which really does directly help support us. And you will get additional content that's DragonCon related guaranteed at the Patreon. So if you are already a patron, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your contribution. If not, there's still plenty of time to join us and get in on all the fun and listen to, again, more DragonCon content because we will deliver it to you. Thanks for listening to another season of the 2018 DragonCon Con Report. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and it has been my pleasure. We'll see you next year, 2019, at the con.
Hey, this was really fun.
We hope you liked it, too.
Seems like we've just begun when suddenly we're through. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. 'Cause now it's time to go. But hey, I say, well, that's okay.
'Cause we'll see you very soon, I know.
Very soon, I know. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And tomorrow, just by today. The moon, the bear, and the big blue house will be waiting for you to come and play. Come and play, come and play. Bye now.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as $1 a month. Don't fret. All your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but now you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign up for the ESO Network, Patreon's easy. All you have to do is click on the link on the top navigation of the ESO Network website or go to patreon.com/ESO Network. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.